Chapter 8. A Complete Agent and AI Assistants. Before long, it became clear that while behavioural AI had raised important questions about the beliefs on which AI was based, it too had serious limitations. The problem was that the technology could not be easily expanded. If all you want to do is to build a robot to vacuum an apartment, then behavioural AI is enough. A vacuum cleaning robot does not have to reason or talk in English or solve complex problems. But it is hard to design behavioural systems with more than just a few behaviours, because you cannot predict how they will interact without trying them first, which takes time and money. As efficient as the solutions developed with a behavioural approach were, they generally only solved very narrow problems, which could not easily be applied to others. Some scientists accepted the key lessons of behavioural AI, but argued that a combination of behavioural and reasoning approaches was required. So AI activity began to move away from AI theory, like expert systems and logical reasoning, towards building independent and autonomous agents, doing tasks for a user in a particular environment. An agent was supposed to provide a linked group of capabilities, rather than a single capability like logical reasoning. By concentrating on building complete intelligent agents, rather than just the different intelligent parts, it was hoped that AI could avoid being based on the incorrect beliefs that had so annoyed Brooks. Behavioural AI had directly affected agent-based AI, but there was now a softer message. By the mid-1990s, AI scientists had agreed on three key capabilities for agents. Firstly, they had to be able to react to their environment and fit their behaviour to changes in it. Secondly, they had to be able to systematically work to achieve a given task for their user. Finally, agents needed to be social, able not just to talk to other agents, but to work with them on tasks when required. Sensor input, perception, modelling, planning, reacting, control, action, action output. Turing machines, the typical design of an agent. A typical design for an agent, called Turing machines, divided control into three smaller subsystems. The reactive subsystem worked like Brooks's subsumption architecture and was responsible for situations that required a quick response and no reasoning, such as avoiding obstacles. The planning subsystem was responsible for working out how to achieve the agent's goals. The modelling subsystem handled interactions with other agents. The three control subsystems were linked by another control subsystem, which listened to what each one suggested and then decided which to follow. This was often a very simple decision, such as, if the reactive subsystem says stop, then you should listen. Many such agent designs were developed in the early 1990s, including Homer, a simulated robot which worked in the sea and was given tasks to do, like collecting parcels and moving them from one place to another. Like Shirdloo, it was only a simulation, but Homer was much more complex. It took instructions, using about 800 words in English, from a user. It could plan how to achieve and then perform its tasks, changing them as the situation required. To get an idea of its capabilities, here is an example of a conversation with Homer. Human: what is in front of you? Homer: a log. Human: do you own the log? Homer: no, I don't. Human: the log belongs to you. Homer: oh. Used by Homer to show it has been told something it did not know previously. Human: turn away from your log. Homer. Okay, I am turning. Log is moved by the user. Human. Turn around. Homer. Okay, I'm turning. Homer. I've lost the log. This dialogue shows Homer reasoning in a simple but sensible way. It remembered the log, expecting to see it when it turned around, and was surprised to discover that the log had disappeared. The next scenario starts with Homer waiting at a port to collect a parcel and deliver it to a boat. Human. Drop the parcel on the boat next Saturday at 9 p.m. Homer. Okay. Homer creates plan. Human. Are you going to the port next Saturday? Homer. Yes. Human. Why are you going to the port? Homer. I'll go to the port in order to pick up the parcel. Human. What time are you going to pick it up? Homer. 8:56 p.m. Human. Where will the parcel be next Sunday? Homer. On the boat. Human. Will the parcel be at the port a week from now? Homer. No. Here we see Homer showing some understanding of time and how its actions affect its environment. After it has left the parcel on the boat, the parcel will no longer be at the port. It also shows an understanding that its own plans will take time. It needs to leave the port at 8:56 p.m. to be at the boat for 9 p.m. Although agent-based AI had its origins in robotics, many researchers quickly realized that it had useful applications in the software world. The big idea was to build AI-powered software agents that would work with us to do everyday tasks on personal computers and on the internet. To understand how this idea developed, we need to know how we interact with computers and how thinking on this subject has changed over time. Users of the earliest computers were, like Alan Turing, very often the scientists and engineers who had helped to design and build them. The interfaces to the computers they built were basic, with nothing hidden from the user, who had to understand how the machine worked in order to program it. Very few people had the technical skills to program in this way, and any skills you acquired on one computer would be of no use in programming another because they were completely different machines. By the end of the 1950s, this situation had begun to change through the development of high-level programming languages. These hid some of the low-level machine details, so a programmer no longer needed to understand how a particular computer worked in order to program it. They were also machine-independent, which meant that a program written in COBOL on one computer worked on another computer, and more people could use them. This change continued, and in 1984, the Apple Computer Company's Macintosh, Mac computer, was the first computer produced and sold explicitly to users without specialist training. Its main selling point was its graphical user interface, GUI, with little pictures called icons on the screen representing documents and files, all controlled by a computer mouse. Desktop-based graphical user interfaces, like that used in the 1984 Mac, have changed very little in computers used today. By the end of the 1980s, Apple was working on the next big change in human-computer interaction and came up with an idea called the Knowledge Navigator, an early World Wide Web, which at that time lay a couple of years in the future. This agent-based interface represented a completely different way of interacting with computers. When you use an application like Microsoft Word, it does something because you selected an item or clicked on a button, making you the only agent in the interaction. The agent-based interface changed that. Instead of the computer waiting to be told what to do, an agent would take an active role in the same way that a human might. By the middle of the 1990s, interest in software agents grew quickly, thanks to the expansion of the World Wide Web. But search tools were still too simple, and internet connections too slow for many everyday computer tasks to be automated. In 2011, an app called Siri appeared, developed for the Apple iPhone at SRI International, the same organisation that had developed Shakey 30 years earlier. Siri was a software agent that users could interact with in natural language and which could do simple tasks for them. Other similar software agents quickly followed: Amazon's Alexa, Google's Assistant, and Microsoft's Cortana. They were all developed from agent-based AI, but could not have been built in the 1990s because the technology was not available at the time. They needed the computer power that became available on mobile devices from 2010 onwards.